Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the 2015 NFL Draft Spectacular with the Philly Mick and Hump Show. I am your host, the Philly Mick. The Philly Hump will be joining us in just a second. We are starting a little late here. Unfortunately, we had, per usual, some technical difficulties. But we still have 22-ish live minutes, so if you want to give us a call in at 347-989-0699. And, Hump, you're there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, yeah, sorry about all that.
I figured we were on Philly Mick time.
Yeah, very funny.
I know you had an appointment, yeah.
I was running a little late, and then Blog Talk was being, as per usual, a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
So.
Imagine that, us having trouble with technology.
Right? Who would have thunk it? But anyway,
I know,
enough
right?
Of that.
Shocking.
Enough of that. We have, 2.5 hours, roughly, until the draft shall start. And it couldn't come any sooner, in my opinion.
No, seriously, I've been texting one of my friends. Every so often we'll text each other just how many hours and minutes left until the draft. Just randomly, the excitement level has been at an all-time high.
I think this year especially. I mean, we obviously always get excited for the draft.
Well, sure.
But, I think this year, there's a big-name target that I think most of the Eagles fans would like. And it's been nothing but speculation for 3+ months, and it's finally coming to an end.
Right?
yeah, that's it. who will now be available in these 7th rounds?
He's trying to pull an Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, but he'll be available in the 7th, so we can grab him then.
Exactly. Well, I wonder. I mean, he's not – they're just wanting to talk to him right now. I imagine that's going to scare everybody off. Pregnant girlfriend all of a sudden gets killed. Maybe the girl was looking for a big payday, being a baby mama.
Maybe.
And he decided, hey, I'm gonna take care of this problem.
Perhaps. And I hope that's not the case.
I hope not, too.
I just hope it looks this bad, and it's not truly this bad. But anyway, I was going to say I've been doing nothing but hanging on Twitter and all of the major news sites, or any little bit of information that pops up, I need to know about it immediately.
Yeah.
So that's basically what I've been doing all day, which has literally been driving me nothing but crazy.
well, that'll do that. I mean, that's why I just thought, among the reasons, one, I had to work, and two, I wanted to save battery life on my phone, for the call into the show. And plus, I just wanted to keep myself sane. I figured I was not going to check into Twitter at all today and just, find out. Although, I will say, my plan is under the_Philly_Hump, I will be making predictions all night long on Twitter. Any of my followers, follow along, and then you'll probably get some drunken angry tweets from me at random points. So that'll be fun,
yes,
too.
Yes, as will I. I'll certainly be on Twitter a good amount. the_Philly_Mick. You can certainly reach either of us there or on Facebook under our group page. Or if you just want to listen to some good old classic Philly Mick and Hump, you're more than welcome to check out our podcast on iTunes. But if you want to call in to the show right now.
Go ahead. Sorry.
347-989-0699. You were saying.
I know we have a new listener who I turned on to the show while at work. I just happened to bring it up in conversation. Yeah, I'm a co-host on the Philly Mick and Hump Show. And
he went
right on his iTunes and looked it up and downloaded the show. He's been listening to a lot of our old shows.
Very nice. Well, thank you, unknown gentleman. Appreciate
it. His name's Kevin Pinkton. Yeah, so there you go, buddy. I gave you a shout-out on the show. Hopefully you're listening.
Wow.
I told him about it today, so.
Well, hopefully he is, and if he wants to call in, please do so. Now, basically, let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. Second pick comes up. We all know Jameis Winston is 99.99% going to Tampa Bay. So once that pick is selected, it's on.
My stomach is going to get really big for those 15 minutes.
Yeah. So, you know, there's obviously been a lot of reports out today that, you know, this team and that team have been talking to Tennessee, and Tennessee, you know, wants a king's ransom and, you know, this, that, and the other. And, you know, it's hard to tell, you know, obviously what's real, what's fake, what's, you know, people just putting it out there.
Sure, out smoke screens. Sure, and some reporters are just throwing stuff up against the wall and just trying to see what sticks. There's still just a lot of confusion. I think Tennessee is trying to get maximum value for the pick. I don't think they want Marcus Mariota, and I think if push comes to shove, I don't think they're going to take him.
See, I disagree. I think I think it's more of a, you know, we'd rather get a bunch of picks and maybe some players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that Mariota isn't necessarily a fit for us, but we'll, you know, if we don't get what we want, we'll go ahead and take him. And, you know, hey, maybe, you know, something down the line after we take him, maybe then we can work out a trade. Or, you know what, let's keep him and we'll see what goes, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, you never know what the motivation is behind certain things. It's not always about what's right for the organization. It's maybe what's right for that GM, or, you know, maybe this gives that guy a couple extra years. And
And that could be the case. And another interesting side note, you know, the Tennessee Titans, they're trying to sell the team. The guy who's supposedly the buyer, one of the stories I heard, and I don't know if this is true or not, has said he really would want the team to take Marcus Mariota and that would drive up the value of the team. Now, I don't think that, you know, if you're buying an NFL team, there's value in any NFL team. You're not gonna pull out of the sale because they didn't draft the guy you wanted.
Right. No,
but
I agree.
Maybe something to sweeten the pot for him.
No, yeah, this will definitely drive up the price. And you know, again, I hope that's not a determining factor of whether or not they want to draft Marcus Mariota.
I wouldn't think
would
it is. It's just something I heard today, and it just, you know.
Oh, yeah, I've heard it too. It's you know. But, you know, all in all, in my heart of heart, my gut of guts, I truly feel that Chip is going to do whatever it takes, and he's going to try and do it without having to give up the future and without giving up the farm. And quite honestly, I think I would be okay with anything, honestly, to get Marcus Mariota, as long as it does not include Fletcher Cox.
Well, see, I just think I really do believe the way everything looks, if you get Marcus Mariota, that probably means you don't have Fletcher Cox anymore.
See,
it's just the way everything's been. Okay,
yeah, you're right.
I'll let you retort.
I feel you. It's more than likely going to have to. But if we're going to do this, we're obviously going to have to trade Bradford. And I think it's imperative that we get the if we're going to trade him to the Browns, it's imperative we get the 12th pick. If we need to throw Bradford and you know, say Curry or Boykin or Kendricks, one of those two, and maybe, you know, like a third or fourth round pick to get their 12th, do that. Then we could package 12 and 20 and next year's first.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever players that I just named that weren't involved in the Cleveland deal, throw them
in.
And then if you got to throw in, you know, maybe a second-round pick in 2017 or, you know, a couple other, you know, second, third, fourth-round picks in there to get it done, I'm okay with that. That way you keep – I feel like getting rid of Cox is going to take such a step back on this defense. And everything that you work to build the defense up this offseason so far is going to be for naught. You're still going to be stuck with the crappy defense.
I mean, I hear you. I think Fletcher Cox is a phenomenal talent. He's one of the five best defensive linemen, in my opinion, in football right now. I hear you on all of that. I just, if you have to do it, if you have to include Cox in the deal to get Marcus Mariota to get your franchise quarterback, as good as I think Fletcher Cox is, and I don't want to disrespect him at all when I say this, I think it's going to be a lot. It will be a lot easier to get another defensive lineman who can be at least adequate to what Fletcher Cox does than it would be to get a franchise quarterback that can do what Marcus Mariota can do in this offense.
Agreed. I completely agree with that statement. It's just me being selfish and wanting to
keep Fletcher Cox. No, I understand. Hey, believe me, I'm right there with you. I'd love to not have to give up Fletcher Cox in this deal. And if you can figure out a way to do it, if that deal works, sign me up all day.
Yeah, I feel like Chip right before the draft is going to make an offer.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to, say, hey, and who knows, maybe Tennessee wouldn't mind taking on Bradford. Who knows? But regardless, I think whether you call Bradford or you call Bradford a first-round pick,
right.
All in all, it's going to be Bradford this year's 20, next year's first, and you look at the players that are going to be available. You look at Kendricks, you look at Boykins, you look at Curry. I'm okay with throwing any of those or all of those in. And to be quite honest, if I have to do this with Tennessee, say there's a separate deal and you're only dealing with Tennessee and Bradford isn't on the table.
Right.
You take 20, you take next year's one, you take the following year's one. So you have three number one picks in a row from the Eagles.
Which is what they said
Tennessee.
They wanted. They want three number one picks. Whether it's
this year's draft
and one next year. That's been the hot rumor that that's what they want, three number one picks.
Along with
some other compensation.
Number one. And then you say, all right, you know what? We'll throw in Kendricks, who's essentially a second or third round pick, whatever you call it, and maybe a third or fourth round pick here or there. And you say, hey, before the draft, hey, this is our offer. Marinate on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you let Tennessee, decide on that. And you know what? If they're not getting any better offers and once they're on the clock, you give them a call and be like, hey, what's up? And you kind of take it from there. And you see, all right, well, you know what? If you're going to want us to include Fletcher Cox, well, we're going to take back one of them picks and we'll kind of move from there. But, I think Tennessee would be smart to try and go for Cox, but all in all, if you can get three number one picks in a row for the next 3 years, plus a couple other decent players, maybe some other picks too, why wouldn't you take that?
Well, yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think, again, push comes to, I think that would have to be Tennessee's on the clock. It's like 2 minutes left. They got to make their decision. Hand on the trigger time. What are you going to do? And that might be when it's big game, NFL's version of chicken. Which guy's going to feel – and with Chip Kelly, the way he's been, I tell you, I wouldn't want to have to play chicken against him.
No, I think all in all, you throw that deal out there and maybe you call their bluff. And you say, all right, you know what? You were looking for three number ones. Here's three number ones. Gave you a little bit extra there.
Yeah, we give you some Vinny Curry, maybe some Michael Kendricks.
Yeah, you don't like that? Tough titties. Call their bluff. And then what? Maybe
you say the three number ones, Curry, Kendricks, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And then and maybe you throw in a third next year, you don't want to do third next year because that means you're not taking until the fourth round, but maybe a third in 2017. Maybe a, I don't know, a fifth in one of the years. You could throw in some things to sweeten it a little bit. I mean, but the gist of the deal is what you just said, the three ones, and then probably Vinny Curry, maybe even and Kendricks.
Right. And then, so say if you can do all that without Cox, without Bradford involved in any deal, and, you know, you've given up Kendricks, Curry, and let's even say Boykin and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You have your number two, you take Mariota. You still have Bradford. All right. Let's throw Bradford to Cleveland.
And that's the thing that I would do with Cleveland is I wouldn't even be, like, as much as if we make this deal, Cleveland might turn to you and say, well, we know you're just trying to get rid of him now. We're not, that number 19, forget about it. We're not giving that to you now. Yeah, and that might be where what I would almost rather do is get a future pick and say next year or 2018. You can even make it a conditionary thing. If their big worry is whether or not he's going to resign, say, okay, if he resigns with you, we get your first next year. If he doesn't, then we get, say, your second or your third next year.
Yeah, I mean, certainly that certainly can be an option. And or again, you call somebody's bluff and say, fine, we'll have Mariota sit on the bench. We'll start Bradford. We have no problem doing that. We'll make the playoffs. You'll be sitting in Sucktown and wishing you had a good quarterback.
Of course.
Now you're
going
to have to compete with everybody else if you once you hit the open market. Good luck with that.
Of course, if Mariota is then already on the team, all of a sudden Sam Bradford might change his tune about being willing to sign an extension with Cleveland.
Absolutely.
What's he going to do, sit here and be a backup?
Right.
Yeah.
That'll
definitely, go to Cleveland, you can sign an extension, you can get paid. And, I mean, if Cleveland really wants to, they would still have him for 2 years if we trade him there because they could just franchise him next year. Now, granted, I know it's a huge number that you'd have to franchise him at, but they'd still have him then for 2 years.
Yeah.
So Cleveland's not out of options if Bradford doesn't want to sign an extension. And you could always get him there and, hey, look, if he's playing well and he's healthy, things are going good in Cleveland, I think he'll like it there then, you know. It's like winning is a great elixir. It can all of a sudden make it what you thought was a bad situation look good. And if he gets there and all of a sudden to be on the upswing, he might be then more willing to sign an extension and play there in Cleveland.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think there's a lot of craziness that could happen in the next couple of hours. And, you know,
I think the next couple hours is going to say a lot to where this franchise goes over the next few years.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if we get Mariota, you know, we basically have our quarterback and our coach combo set for
probably
the next decade.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the new Donovan and Andy Reid. And as much as I was happy with that combination and confident in that, man, my confidence is tenfold in this one because these two worked together. I mean, you know, Chip Kelly recruited this guy when he was 17 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, he went to see him in Hawaii before he was even a starter. You know, that's how much he had faith in this kid. So,
yeah.
I mean,
it could certainly do wonders in the NFL in this offense. And you know what?
If an Eagles fan, I'd want to see it happen just because I'd want to see what he could do because I'm such a big fan of football.
Yeah, no, agreed.
Unless I was maybe
and,
a fan
of
one of our rivals. But.
Well, probably not. But,
yeah.
I mean, you know, looking at all this, I can see, you know, ideal situation is we give up picks, you know, not three number ones. We somehow turn Bradford into another number one. We still have a pick this year besides Mariota. We pick our wide receiver. If we still have a second, we pick, again, ideally, that kid Rowe from Utah who can be corner or safety. And we come out of this the first 2 days with a franchise quarterback, with a wide receiver to complement Matthews and the bunch, and we have another starting safety, and our team is looking
and we're
golden.
So pretty, yeah.
That's the ideal. We still have Cox. again, if we have to give up Kendricks, I understand it, although I don't necessarily like it.
Essentially, you've already replaced Kendricks with Kiko Alonso.
Yeah, essentially.
I mean, granted, I kind of wanted to see them out on the field together with Graham and Barwin at, on the outside. But I guess I'm not going to get my wish there.
That could have been a nice 1-2 punch in the middle with those two, and then, Barwin and on the outside. But you know what? There is, there's not to say that that's not possible. I mean, who knows
happening
with Chip Kelly? There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee in anything.
That's the one thing we've seen. You know, like conventional wisdom would tell you, they're not going to trade their quarterback. This guy, he's 14-4 as a starter. What does he do? He trades him. You know, conventional wisdom, all-time great running back. You're not going to trade him. Guess what? LeSean McCoy, now he's in Buffalo. Don't use conventional wisdom when trying to figure out what Chip Kelly's going to do. But what did he say when he first got here? One of the only reason he wouldn't accept to do things is because that's the way it's always been done. And he is bucking the system as far as traditional, ways of doing things, traditional methods. He is dead set against them.
That is evident. That is evident. So, who knows what's going to happen in the next couple hours, but if you're out there, want to give us a call before we head into the podcast, we've probably got about a minute left, 347-989-0699. Give us a call. Come in. We'll take you into the podcast. It'll be loads of fun, I promise. What say you, real quick, run through your final mock draft for your top five. Real quick, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota to the Eagles, Leonard Williams, and then Kevin White, and then I'd say Dante Fowler Jr. And that
all right. Sounds good to me. All right, well, I'm going to give up my my top five in the podcast, but we want to thank everybody for listening. Go see us on Twitter, Facebook, Draft for Philly Nick.
I'm the Philly home.
Go Birds. Let's go Mariota. All right, and we are unlive, as they say.
We like to say, the unlived, unplugged, and unfiltered Philly Mickenhoff.
Oh, God.
Crazy in this podcast.
No, I'm pretty sure my wife just, dropped a whole bunch of stuff. I just hear a bunch of crashing and banging upstairs.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's your...
Yeah, she's not happy. She's screaming. Oh, God.
Oh, well, if you need to take care of that, I can handle things here for a few seconds. For a few minutes.
Talk for a few minutes.
Yeah, I'll do that while you check on my wife. Hopefully, nothing's died or is too damaged. Hopefully, your house is still going to be standing. Everybody, as the Philly Mick goes and checks to make sure his house is not on fire or anything, I'm going to keep things going here. I'll tell you, if I had to put a number on it, where my percentage is on whether or not I think the Eagles are going to get Mariota, I'd probably fall somewhere in the 70% range, which is a lot higher than I've heard many people give it. So I do think there's a better than 50-50 chance that we're going to land Marcus Mariota. And if we do, look out NFC East. Look out NFC. And I will say that, for those who are thinking, get Mariota and it's a championship right away, I'm going to preach patience. You're going to have to let him come in. He's still going to be learning the NFL. This is going to be a faster game than he's ever played. He's not going to have those wide open windows that he's always had. And for those detractors to this deal, I want to say this to you. If you're worried about how much we're going to give up, that we're not going to have these draft picks, let's look at the Eagles' record with first-round picks. It ain't exactly been stellar. So I would be plenty happy with know, it just means you're going to have to do your due diligence in the middle to late rounds, and you're going to have to listen to your scouts, and then you're going to have to hit the rookie free agency. You're going to have to be better in regular free agency. You can still field a team and field a pretty good team with losing those picks. Now, some examples of teams giving up those picks, teams like the Washington Redskins when they traded up to get RG3. People talk about that deal being crippling. That deal isn't what crippled them. The fact that with one of their few picks that they still had in that draft, aside from RG3, they go and draft a backup quarterback in Kirk Cousins. What was the logic there? You know, when you only have, I think, 3 or 4 picks in that draft, why are you spending 2 of them on quarterbacks? And then you don't have a first-round pick the next year. I mean, there was just not much logic applied to the Redskins. And so I'd say that the RG3 deal isn't what killed them. I think it's the other things that they did that killed them, you know, the Kirk Cousins pick, along with some of the other handout. And they haven't been very smart with their money in free agency. Yeah, a great line that I heard once, you're not always looking for the best players, you're looking for the right ones. And that's what you have to do in this league, and if you don't do that, coaches get fired, GMs get fired, you're just not going to be very good. And I'm assuming, since the Philly Mick hasn't said anything here in a little while, that there's either been some deaths or fires. Thankfully, we're still on the air. But, again, hopefully everything's okay there. I'm certainly hoping everybody's going to have fun tonight, be safe, be smart. And let's not act like it's the end of the world if we don't get married. I know my strategy is the second that if it becomes that we're not going to get them. Are you alive?
I'm alive.
Oh, the Philly Mick, he's alive. I guess can we get some updates? What happened there?
Well, apparently the wife was doing some cleaning, and I guess, I don't know, opened the window, and a gust of wind knocked over a bunch of crap, and things broke and shattered, and...
Oh.
Yeah.
But also everybody's limbs are still attached, no deaths, no fires.
No, but there's glass everywhere, and... Amy's not happy. One of her favorite, pieces got broken, and
wow,
on the top of that, the cat puked everywhere. So,
well, that would make me puke too. So,
well,
so I
mean, it didn't actually happen
cat,
like right
yeah,
then and there.
I understand what the cat puked then.
Yes, but she's not happy, Amy.
No, I don't. Okay. So I was going over some of the different scenarios and some of the trying to take away from any detractors from the idea of the Eagles coming up to make this deal. The more notable being people who cite the Washington Redskins and their deal to move up to RG3. I said I don't think the reason that deal – I don't think that deal is the reason the Redskins are in the shape they're in. I think it's because they didn't – handle things afterwards the best way. I think that's the reason they're in the shape they're in.
Well, plus, I mean, they did give up way too much.
They gave up too much, but I still say, like, you can still field a team without the first-round picks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at the Eagles' record on first-round picks, even in recent years. It ain't exactly been, awesome. With the exception of Fletcher Cox, who's been all that great, they've gotten in the first round in the last few years. And they've been, I think a lot of people would say they've been a pretty good football team, with the exception of maybe those last 2 years under Andy Reid.
Yeah, but no, you're right.
Where these drafts are won are second, third, fourth rounders. I mean, we could go through the list of Eagles that were second round picks, third round picks.
That were better than the people they drafted in the first round.
Exactly. And that's where, if the Eagles make this deal, they're just going to have to do that again. They're going to have to trust their scouts, and they're going to have to hit free agency the right way. They're going to have to hit rookie free agency the right way. There are going to be players to be had out there, even in, middle or later rounds.
Sure. Absolutely.
So, I don't know, if you wanted to go ahead and give me, your first 5 picks.
All right, so... I'm not going to necessarily say who, or what team.
Okay.
I will tell you just the player.
Okay. Because
I think there's going to be a lot of shakeup in the top five.
I agree with that. I think there's potential
I'm
going to
go
a
with,
yeah.
obviously, Winston and Mariota, 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Geez, number three. Man. I'm going to say Amari Cooper, number three.
Okay.
Number four, I'm going to say Leonard Williams. And number five, I'm going to say Dante Fowler.
Okay.
But I believe that three out of those top five picks will not be taken by the original teams.
Okay.
More
I think that's a very fair thing to say. I do think
two,
there's going to be some shakeups at the top of this draft.
Yeah.
Two, well, obviously, the one we're all hoping for.
Well,
you said three and five?
Yeah, I think I want to say Jacksonville trades back, say, you know, with either the Rams or maybe even Atlanta. If it's the Rams, then it definitely will be Cooper. And then I think Jacksonville will jump back and take Todd Gurley. If it is Atlanta, I think Atlanta then goes for somebody like a Dante Fowler. I can also see the Redskins moving back a few spots to, you know, pick up some extra picks and to help the defense. I can certainly see, again, the Rams moving up. I can see the Saints moving up. There's a couple other teams that I think, you know, even Atlanta going up, if they can't get up to three, could do go up to five. So there's going to be a lot of movement this year.
Yeah, I definitely think there could be some moving around. I agree with you. Yeah, I look for St. Louis to be big-time movers. I think, you know, another one I wouldn't be surprised to see Miami being a mover, too. I don't know if, I don't know top five, but I think they could be moving around. It could be either trading up or down.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, say no trades happen. Mariota's off the board.
Right.
And it's time for pick 20. Who we getting in pick 20? Who's your top three picks there for us?
Well, you know, it's whether or not of whether or not some of them, you know, I really like some of the offensive linemen, maybe an Eric Flowers, if he's still there, or Andres Pete. I like him a lot. I know those aren't sexy picks, but I definitely don't think Landon Collins, maybe Jalen Collins, corner at LSU, Marcus Peters. So I definitely think there's some options. But those are some of my favorites, you know, either the offensive lineman or the corner.
All right.
Because I definitely think that they'll be looking wide receiver. If a Devontae Parker is there or a Rashad Perryman, I definitely think that could happen.
Sure.
But, yeah, I'd say the positions you really watch are corner and offensive line if they're still picking a 20.
Yeah. I think with the depth of the wide receivers this year.
Yeah, that's the reason why
I think you can have one
yeah,
in the second or third round. You know, does just as good a job as somebody that you may be getting in the first round. So, ideally, for me, I think pick 20, you know, hope obviously someone falls to you, like, you know, like a Wayans, which is highly unlikely, but maybe somebody like Kevin White trying to move up,
maybe a few slots, maybe another kind of deal to get, say, Trey Waynes. Especially the rumor is that Michael Kendricks is basically all but out of here. And if that's the case, you know, Kendricks in 20, you move up, what, 4 or 5 slots, especially if, you know, Waynes isn't gone at, say, like 11 or 14. Yeah, maybe you move into one of those slots and you take Trey Waynes there. It's like, say, if he's still there for whatever reason at 14, maybe you call up Miami and say, hey, what do you think? Kendricks and 20 to move up and take, so we can take Waynes.
Yeah, no, I think, certainly a possibility. I'm just hoping that the likes of Nelson Aguilar, Philip Dorsett, Eric Rowe, some of these guys.
Yeah,
something
like that's
really
on the radar for Friday night. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I have them targeted for Friday night, and I don't want to see them taken tonight, especially by
Eagles. I don't
think
Dorsett will be. Aguilar, possibly, at the back end. Rowe, I mean, I don't know. Last year, I really thought Jimmy Ward was a shoo-in for the second round, and he went off the board in the first round, so.
Yeah, no, and again,
the back end
of
the first rounders are gets unpredictable.
Yeah, especially now that, you know, with Collins and Shane Ray dropping dramatically with their past week of things that just came out.
Well, I have to say Shane Ray and Randy Gregory are still, you know, first-round picks, maybe a little later. But, I mean, Leo Collins basically take him off the board.
Yeah, well, yeah. I wouldn't necessarily say that for Ray. I can see Ray dropping a couple rounds, in all honesty.
You really think?
Yeah. I mean,
so is it just because of the marijuana, or is it because of the foot injury too? Or do you think they both factor in?
I think it's certainly both factor. I think people could have gotten over the turf toe injury. A lot easier and said, maybe end of first round, all right, you know, hopefully this guy will, you know, be able to come and play for us and, you know, get